So let's get started with next presentation. I'm Maxim Lukyanov, Program Manager in SharePoint Developer Experience Team. I'll give you an overview of three SOAP web services in SharePoint: lists, webs, and sites web servers. These three web services represent kind of core capabilities of SharePoint web frontends. And today we'll start with overview of SharePoint underlying basic SharePoint concepts, so we can kind of can define a vocabulary which you can use then when we'll talk about protocols themselves. And we'll conclude with a couple of practical scenarios where we'll tie these different web methods from these web services together to accomplish some specific tasks. So these three web services are exposed by SharePoint web frontend servers. SharePoint web frontend servers are organized into farms to provide better scalability, and these farms have one or more web applications which provide hosting for SharePoint content. And the unit of SharePoint content is site collection. Site collection can be moved from SharePoint content database, from one database to another. Site collections provide isolation boundaries in terms of security, in terms of referential integrity, like links within site collection, automatically updated by SharePoint when content moves within the boundaries of SharePoint, of site collection. But SharePoint web frontend servers usually never walk across site collection boundaries. Like even at the querying level, you can query content across site collection, but not between site collections. So site collection is a core unit of SharePoint. Site collection contains sites. Every site collection has root site, and it has one or many child sites. And every child site may have other child sites as well. One of the core part of terminology confusion around sites and site collections is their naming in object model. In object model, we call site collection SP site and site SP web. So that's unfortunate, but you just need to get it straight in your head so you don't ever, you are never confused that SP site is a site collection, SP web is a site. Sorry about that. Sites contain pages that define look and feel of SharePoint site, as well as user content. And user content is stored in lists and libraries. Lists and sites are usually created from templates. SharePoint is heavily template-driven because there are multiple times when the same sites are created for different purposes, but from the same template. And SharePoint has special optimizations around this fact. When a new site or list is created from template, SharePoint doesn't duplicate all of the pages and content of this template in the content database. It just creates references to the physical files stored on the local file systems of the web frontend server. So this optimization, these files that are just links, are called ghosted files. And in next slides, you'll see some of the web services that provide you these capabilities to work with this concept of the ghosted files and manage them. So that's important, I want to know. Sample of the SharePoint site, HTTP Contoso. In this one, HTTP Contoso is represented by a site collection, or site collection is mapped into HTTP Contoso namespace. It has root site and several subsites. It extends HTTP Contoso with blog, widgets, and widgets research subsite. And while this full URL namespace of HTTP Contoso is mapped into a single site collection, it can be further extended by other site collections as well. For example, you can create HTTP Contoso people site collection, and it will extend HTTP Contoso with additional sites which belong to a different site collection. All of the three protocol documents that we'll be talking about, they are site-scoped. So in order to call any web method in this web service, you need to send a request to an endpoint located in the SharePoint site. And therefore, this request needs to be directed at special at the endpoints located at, for example, contosa people underscore VTI underscore bin slash lists.smx. So this request will go to a list web service. And in similar way, if you want to target specific site in a specific site collection of SharePoint, you need to form your URL based on the URL of the site itself. User data in SharePoint is stored in lists and libraries. Primary purpose of lists and libraries in SharePoint is to provide end users with the web forms and web UI to work with items in the list and libraries and view this and query these items. In these forms, in the built-in forms, end users can specify a set of values for fields of different types to specify metadata of the list item or of the document. You can think of document libraries basically as a lists where every item in a list contains has a document, associated document with it. Or list item is a document stream. So that's at least is a design goal. And at the web services level, you can use, in terms of web services that we are going to talk about here, you can always use web services against lists and document libraries. They're no different. Of course, when we are talking about web services that work with document stream, only document libraries apply. Items in lists and document libraries can be of different content types. Content type defines a set of fields that are specific to this item, and there could be different content types in lists and libraries. Content types can be shared between lists, and therefore, definitions of the content types are stored at the site level, and they're applied or used in lists and libraries. And therefore, the same content type can be used in different lists and libraries, providing ability to you to query across lists or provide end users with a consistent experience for the same content type between lists and sites. Also, SharePoint provides a querying capability. Like there are sort and filter predicates that you can use to sort and filter across lists against different types of fields, and also for lookup fields that provide simple join semantic between lists. You can also specify some simple joins in SharePoint queries. You can query within the list and across lists as well. When you talk about document libraries, every document libraries contain files, and there are wide range of protocols that are specifically target file operations. Basic protocols like a WebDAV and more advanced like COBOL that allows co-authoring on the documents. Documents in document libraries are organized in folders, but the same is true for, actually the same is true for lists. You can have folders in lists as well. That kind of brings symmetry between lists and libraries and really makes the difference between them is only dedicated to documents. One of the important SharePoint concepts that allow efficient collaboration between people on the documents and list items is a notion of versioning. Let's start with a specific example. Let's say we have a public version of the document stored in the document library. And then authors start working on the document, and they can save back into SharePoint a draft version of the document. There is a capability in SharePoint to limit visibility of the draft versions only to authors or to a specific set of people. And then what happens is SharePoint creates a public version for all other people and a special modified minor versions for authors. The next step is ability for end user to check out or take a look on the document. If a user checks out the document, then nobody else can edit document at this time, and everybody else sees a version of the document that was created before checkout was taken. And after a user finishes his work on the document, he checks in the document, document becomes available for everybody else to edit, and changes that were made to the document become publicly available as well. So now let's talk about how this SharePoint site maps into a protocol document that we are going to talk about. Site collection and site level management functions are covered by site's web service. Management of the content within the site and changing structure of the site is handled by web's web service. And all of the list operations, management list operations, and data-related list operations are handled by list's web service. Also, as I already said, there are a set of web services and protocols that target file-related operations. Like basic webdav provides interoperability with file-share type of scenarios. Legacy front page server extension protocol supports front page. And new Cobalt, codenamed Cobalt protocol, supports clustering of the document by multiple users. And finally, we have also REST APIs for document libraries and CMIS adapter for the scenarios, for the interoperability scenarios. Protocol documents will be covered by later. I think tomorrow, in a specialized session. And today we'll talk about top three web services. Okay, so that concludes our overview part. Feel free to ask questions during the protocol, web methods, during discussion of the protocols. We won't be able to go deep into each method, but I'll try to stop and on some less intuitive methods or on some more interesting methods. But feel free to ask your questions as we go. Site's web service provides site collection level functionality and allows manage, create, and delete sites, as well as provide some helper functions in, related to security. So create web method is provides you the ability to create sites based on the template. So first, before calling this method, you need to know which templates are available on SharePoint, and then you can create website based on that. Import web and export web methods are related to or designed specifically for content migration scenarios. They basically allow you to create a copy of SharePoint site on some other SharePoint server. The output of this method is a CMP file, which is a content migration package, which is a collection of XML files that represent content of the SharePoint site. This format of this package is publicly documented, so you can find documentation for it. And it's very powerful technology as it covers all of the aspects of the SharePoint content and can replicate content from one SharePoint server to another. Export solution and export workflow template methods are designed for developer scenarios. They allow you to export a site or part of the SharePoint site into a WSP file, which is a SharePoint solution file. And this solution file can be imported into a Visual Studio. So you can reuse artifacts or artifacts of SharePoint sites in your new development in your new projects, development projects. So before you can create a site in a create web method, you need to use get site templates web method to retrieve a list of available templates. And this list will include built-in site templates provided by, out of the box with SharePoint, as well as custom site templates installed into SharePoint using WSP files or sandbox solutions. On the security side, SharePoint supports this protection from the cross-site request forgery attack, where it requires every update request to SharePoint, every post or put request, to contain a valid canary. And this canary is dynamically generated every time somebody reads a form, web form from SharePoint. But in the scenarios where this web form has a long lifetime, this canary may expire. And therefore, in SharePoint out-of-the-box web forms and in general, we have a solution where this form itself refreshes this canary by retrieving new canary for the for the data before it submits data to SharePoint. So that's the purpose of these two helper functions, helper web methods: get updated form digest and get updated form digest information. The later one, in addition to returning a canary itself, also returns its expiration time. So web form knows when is the next time it needs to refresh this canary before sending updates into SharePoint. Web service provides basic management capabilities for SharePoint site content. In addition to simple updates of some of the attributes of SharePoint sites, it provides basic functionality for management content types and shared columns, as well as list template-related functionality, and again, some helper function, which we'll stop on in more detail. So get web collection and get all sub web collection are self-describing methods. The difference between get web collection and get all sub web collection is the first one retrieves just immediate child sites, immediate subsites of the site, while the second one allows you to retrieve a full hierarchy of the subsites for a given site. Also, using get activated features, you can query which features are activated on the SharePoint site. And customized CSS methods allows you to change look and feel of the site by changing its CSS file. Content type management functions are, in the web service, target these shared content types or content type definitions. Content types that are not yet used in any specific list on document library, but serve as a definition for the content types used across the site. They are mostly self-describing. I'll stop on create content type. A very common issue with the create content type method is it doesn't allow specification of the content type ID is created. And this is a limitation common to some of the developer scenarios and content migration scenarios. The workaround for this is to use import web method that we discussed before. This content migration package that import web takes as an input parameter allows you to specify ID of the content type. So that's one of the workarounds for the limitations of this method. It's used by default in all SharePoint document libraries, like document is a content type. On top of document, you can create customized content type, which will specify, for example, TCP report content type, which has some additional approved by field. So lists can be created without content types. But in order to get good experience for out-of-the-box web forms, it is kind of required to specify content types. So during list creation, as part of the list schema, you can specify content types. You can define content types. Content types define a set of fields that are available in the list, as well as some specific behaviors. Like you can specify event receiver for the content type. You can associate workflow with a content type, or in terms of, in case of document libraries, you can also associate a specialized document template for a content type. Yes? So the question is, how this protocol is different from other file management protocols. So specific thing about this web service and this web services is they allow you to create and define and manipulate definitions of the content types. So they are not directly involved with the actual files that are stored in the document libraries. They just define what metadata will be available on the files stored in the document library. So they kind of define, if in a simplified terms, they define set of fields that will be available on the document or on the list item. And after that, all of the other protocols will work with this set of fields. But WebDAV and other file-related protocols does not allow you to specify what fields are can be set on the document. Well, so they don't define metadata of the document. They only populate metadata. Okay. So column management is similar to content type. Content type consists of a defined set of fields, shared fields, and shared fields can be manipulated on the site using get columns and update columns web methods. Other questions? Also, web service allows you to retrieve set of list templates, and these list templates can be used in list web service to actually create and manipulate lists. On the side of advanced operations, there is a common scenario where if application accepts user input, as a user input, you can get an URL to the resource stored in the SharePoint. And in this case, the first task that your application needs to accomplish is to resolve this URL into two parts. The first part specifies what the site, SharePoint site, that this resource is stored on. And the second part is what the ID of this resource, so you can call other web services to manipulate this resource. It can be a document, list item, or a list. So the first two methods serve this purpose. Get object ID from URL allows you to resolve the URL or decompose the URL into a set of IDs. The ID of its parent list, whether this URL represents file, folder, or list item, and some other related information to the object. And web URL from page URL allows you to basically determine URL of the parent website for any given URL. The nice property of this method is that it doesn't need to be called exactly at the boundary of the website. Like in a previous example, we saw that in order to make this web request, you need to send requests into http://people/vtib. So you need to know where what is the URL of the website. With this web service, you don't need to know. You can just append this __vtib/webs.smx into any URL of the SharePoint resource, even to a file URL. And it will resolve and process correctly and will return you a real web URL of the site. The last three methods here work with the concept of the ghosted files that we talked about before. So the nice property of SharePoint is that it can reduce size of the content database, and it can improve performance by removing this duplicate file content from it and storing only references to the file system object. But it also provides ability for end users to further customize this content. Like if end user wants to customize look and feel of the site, they can change content of the ghosted page and save it back. And then SharePoint will actually do a copy on write and store a real real content, real stream of the page in the content database. That's a nice property, but it also has a disadvantage at the upgrade time. During upgrade, but the desired behavior is to change all of the look and feel of the sites into a new version. And what happens if users customize some of the pages and did very small customization to the pages, these pages won't be replaced to a new version automatically. They will stay in the old version. And sometimes you want to change this behavior and forcefully revert this customized page back into the original state so they can take advantage of the new functionalities. So these three methods, get customized page status, revert file, and revert all files, allows you to accomplish this task. They can report to you what pages in your sites are customized, and then you can selectively select which pages are okay to revert into their default state. Therefore, they will take a new version, new upgraded version content. So now we are at the list web service. So list web service encapsulates all of the list-related operations. List schema management operations, list scoped content type operations, data-related operations, and also synchronization and check-in, check-out-related operations. At the schema management, it allows you to query list collections, get schema of the lists in the XML format, and also create lists based on the list templates available on the SharePoint side. Again, list creation is template-driven, so you need to specify a list template in order to create list of the specific these specific list, fields and field types. The second version of the add list web method, add list from feature, is a modified version that which allows you to create list defined in a specific feature. So, in a version 2007 of SharePoint, a new concept of features was introduced where lists can be defined or can be scoped to a specific feature, which is a part of a SharePoint solution. And this modified web method allows you to create a list from the templates defined in the features. And update and delete list are self-describing methods. So at the list level, we also have content types, which are basically copies of the content types at the site collection level, which are copied into the list definition when a specific content type is chosen to be used in the list. They are mostly self-describing. I'll stop only on the apply content type to list. So this is the method that says, oh, here is the list without any content types, and I want to use this content type defined at the site level in this list. And this method basically creates a copy of the content type and puts it into the list. So it can be now used by end users to work with content in this list. Any questions on this web method?
So your
list
can contain multiple
contents. Yeah. Content type may calculate columns which can be assigned to this type. So the question is, is it possible for list to contain multiple content types, and is it possible for content type to contain link to the parent content type, or to the columns?
To
columns. So the question is, how if multiple content types in the list have different set of columns, how these different set of columns look in the resulting list and in the resulting page? Yeah, so the end result is a merge of all of the fields defined by all of the content types. So that every field in the content type has its unique ID. Therefore, if multiple content types share the same field, or say they have the same field in their definition, then this field definition will be shared between these content types. So there will be no duplicate fields of the same type. But the list schema and the resulting list schema will contain all of the fields defined in all of the content types. So it's a superset of all fields. And the list views capability allows you to specify which subset of fields you want to see in every list view. Thank you. Great question. I didn't have time to get into this detail. So the question is, when a site-level content type is changed, will this change propagate to a list-level content types? The answer is yes, and it is also controllable by end user and by developer. During changes to the site-level content type, you can choose whether to push down changes into a list or not. So basically, this allows you to also manage to accomplish two two goals at the same time. First, to manage centralized definition of content type across lists, as well as achieve flexibility and have one-off lists which have some specialized version of the content type. Okay. Yes. So the question is, when document has multiple versions, and if between versions the metadata changes, whether every document has its own version or it has, or all of them has a single version. My understanding of SharePoint says that they all have the same version, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Yeah, so we'll need to have an offline discussion on this, and I can follow up and have your definite answer.
Like the size, metadata attributes, what's the version? So if you can share once you find out.
Okay, thank you. I will do this. Other questions on this slide? On the data management side, SharePoint has this primary method, getListItems, that takes multiple parameters, and the primary of them is a query definition. In SharePoint, queries are expressed in XML form called camel queries. And using these camel queries, you can sort, filter, and do simple joins based on the lookup fields. UpdateListItems is a method that takes XML of that allows you to update multiple list items in a batch based on the XML definition of this batch. Get attachments. Attachments related operations are mostly self-describing. The interesting one is add attachment. Add attachment method takes actual attachment stream as a base64 encoded parameter to the web method. It allows you to directly upload attachments to the list item. And two last methods here, add discussion board and add wiki page, are also related to a ghosted file concept. Like SharePoint doesn't have APIs to generic APIs that allows you to create ghosted files, or basically define ghosted files that has some arbitrary reference to some resource on the local file system of the web front-end server. But it's a common scenario where you want to create new wiki page or new discussion board, and you want to create these pages in an efficient manner, or you want to create them as a ghosted files. Therefore, SharePoint provides you these two specialized web methods that allows creation of ghosted files of the specific type, type specific to discussion board and wiki page. List web service also support versioning concept in SharePoint lists. It allows you to check in file and check out file, get list of versions for a file, and also cancel checkout. If under checkout method is called, then all of the changes made to the checked out version of the document will be discarded, and document will be reverted back to the version prior to the checkout. And also SharePoint has a very powerful synchronization method. It has three versions of them. Get list item changes, it works based on the timestamps and allows you to get a list of changes made to the list after some specific timestamp. Get list item changes since token is a more robust version of the method which works based on the synchronization tokens, or some APAC string that represents a moment in time where changes were synchronized last. This is a more robust version because it doesn't depend on the time formats or cannot change with the time formats. And final version of the synchronization APIs is get list item changes with knowledge. This is a method very similar to the get list item changes since token, but instead of APAC sync token string, it takes a more structured knowledge data structure from Microsoft Sync Framework. So this makes it integrated with Microsoft Sync Framework. And update list items with knowledge is a method that reserved for future use. Currently, it doesn't support knowledge data structure yet, but that's reserved for the future. Okay, so we went through the methods of the protocols, and I believe we still have around 10 minutes. So let's review a couple of practical scenarios, and then we'll have some additional time for questions. So we'll review list-related operations because they are most complex and require largest amount of orchestration between different web methods in these web services. So if you look at the very simple scenario of just connecting to a list and retrieving list data, it actually kind of a little bit more involved than you can think from the first glance. So real lists and real applications that work with lists want to accommodate for the fact that lists can contain large amount of data. And in this case, the set of steps that you need to perform is as follows. First, as we discussed, you need to resolve the user input that specifies SharePoint resource. In this case, it's a SharePoint list. And resolve it into a list ID and a web URL. So you use get object ID from URL to resolve URL into a list ID. Then you, your application needs to prepare itself to receive data from list and to interpret the data of the list correctly. In order to do this, it needs to know what the field types defined for this list are so it can represent this data correctly. So it can do this by calling getList method. This getList will return XML definition of the list schema from which you can and you can parse this XML definition and retrieve types of the fields available on this list. At this moment, your application actually ready to receive data from SharePoint. And it can call getListItems to retrieve data from list. But in a practical scenario, if there is a large amount of data, you need to page through the result set so you don't get timeouts because of the large result sets. In this case, your first call to getListItems will retrieve only first page of the results and also a page token, your page token parameter, which will specify the input for the next page. And then you'll need to loop into the calls to get list items and pass a page token parameter to retrieve next page after another, one page after another. So that would complete this basic scenario of retrieving list data. So next scenario, even more complicated, and which is quite popular today with Web 2.0 type of applications, where applications, web applications are trying to be very responsive to user input and try to kind of present data very quickly as soon as user clicks on the link. So in this case, you probably want to synchronize data from SharePoint list and keep it in a local cache. You can do this in this sequence of operations. Again, first two allows you to resolve basically URL into actual list ID and retrieve schema of the list. Then you can use getListItemChanges with knowledge method to start synchronization with the list. But before you can get to actual incremental synchronization, you need to first retrieve, first kind of do a full synchronization of the original list content. And you can do this also with getListItemChanges with knowledge method by using this familiar to you page token parameter. You can send this page token parameter in a loop and retrieve all of the data in the list. In the first call, the difference with the previous example is in the first call to get list item changes with knowledge, you will also receive a sync knowledge parameter. This sync knowledge parameter will represent a moment in time where you first started to retrieve this data from the list. And after you retrieved complete set of data from the list, you need to now synchronize changes that were made to the list while you were retrieving the data in the first place. So in order to do this, you need to made another set of calls to get list item changes with knowledge, and this time passing the knowledge parameter. So first time in this call, you pass the original knowledge parameter received in the step 3, and you'll receive first set of changes that happen to the list from this moment. And if there are more changes that happened after this first set of changes, then you'll receive back next knowledge parameter, which will represent next moment in time from which you need to synchronize data from. When you complete this cycle, you'll have up-to-date fresh copy of the list data in your local cache, and you'll also have a final knowledge parameter, which will you be able to use later to synchronize all upcoming changes to the list. And then you can keep this your local copy of the list data up to date by repeating this cycle in step 5 and 6 and synchronizing latest changes to the list. Okay? So now we have time for final questions.
Mm-hmm. Now, does that keep some state on the server? Let's say if you got two queries, the server returns the same answer,
So the question is, in the example of synchronizing data from the list, the question is there any states preserved on the server in regards to this calls? So direct answer would be no. There is no state on the server that tracks this session of the calls for the synchronization of specific data that is specific to this synchronization session. But at the same time, SharePoint has a change log that tracks all of the changes made to the list. And therefore, as long as you have a knowledge parameter, it indirectly points to some entry in this change log from which you can basically go down and retrieve all of the last changes that you still don't have. So basically, the knowledge parameter is a pointer to the change log, and you can query this change log and retrieve changes up to the latest change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great question. So in this scenario where there are two updates made to the list item, and you are just making one synchronization call to retrieve latest changes from the list, how many copies? The question is how many copies of the list item you'll get, and will you have separate copy of the list item for every change? So the answer to this is SharePoint synchronization mechanism is state-based, so it doesn't track exact operations that were performed against SharePoint. It tracks only end state of the SharePoint list data. Therefore, you'll get just single update of the list item, and it will be latest update. Yeah. So it will be the single entry in the list of changes to the list item, and the version of the list item will be the last one. Yes, there is. So the answer is twofold. This information is available at the site level, and you can get it in the SharePoint object model using get changes at the web level. But it's not available in the SOAP web services. But later tomorrow, we'll have a session on the client-side object model protocol, and this object model. This protocol actually exposes the site level get changes method. So it will allow you to get changes at the site level. Yeah. So the answer then is not in these protocols, but in a more kind of modern client side object model protocol, we have this information available. Okay. If you don't have any more questions, thank you very much for your attention.